We're taping Shemot Bet Perikud Aleph. And the Gemara and Daf Nun Vav in Masechta Shabbos, it starts off by saying, Kol Omer Reuven Chata Eino El Toa. If you say Reuven sinned in Parshas Vayishlach with Bilha, you're mistaken. So, what does the Pasuk says, Vayishkav Es Bilha Pilegish Aviv? So, we have to reinterpret what those words mean. The circumstance of the simple pshat of the words is different, the Gemara says. He moved a couch from one room to another. One has to imagine that the Bible doesn't tell it the way it was. It was, he moved a couch, and it says, Vayishkav. So the Marsha explains that in a number of cases, as we'll see in one more in the Gemara there, that when someone prevents a husband and wife from being together, it's as if though he violated the wife. So we say the same with Bnei Eli. Kola Omer Bnei Eli Chatu Eino Elatoe. Why? It says they did terrible things. So Tosfos says that Gemara is only talking about the sin in front of the Ohel Moed with the women who were waiting. It says, Vayishkevun Es Hanoshim Pesach Ohel Moed. How could you say that's not a sin? Tosfos says, but Avon Kochim, that the Gemara doesn't deal with. That's sinful. When they stuck the fork into the pot and they pulled out the, remember that story there, right? That the Gemara doesn't chapel with. That the Gemara says is kipshuto, they sin just as it says. But when it says they slept with the women in front of the Ohel Moed, again, they didn't do that. They did something else. What was the sin? They kept the women waiting. They didn't bring their korbanos after they give birth, so their husbands waited so long for them, so it's a similar thing like Reuven. It kept the women from going home after giving, bringing the korbanos of Tara after they gave birth. So it's as if though they did this terrible thing. Then it says,
but they buried.
For Avon Kochim.
And the Kehuna.
For the Kochim, for the Kehuna. But for this particular thing, nothing. Next, Kol Omer B'nei Shmuel Chatu, Eino El Toa. If you say Shmuel's son sinned, but it says in the Pasuk that they went after Betzah, they went after bribery, they weren't like their father. Then too, the Gemara says, it's not exactly like this. They weren't as pious as their father, but they didn't take briberies, etc., etc. Now, what I'd like to say is that when it comes to David, when it says, Kala Omer David Chota Eino Elatoe, the Gemara doesn't go in this direction. It can't. Why not?
She had a baby.
She says she's pregnant. She says she's having a child. You can't say that he did something else. He didn't really. He wanted to. He didn't. She says, you took me into the house. And I'm telling you, my husband's boy at battle for so long. Now, if the David tells everybody, I never saw her in my life, who are they going to believe?
Well, they'll believe him until they see
him. Of course
well,
they'll believe him.
Yeah, of course.
Right? So, but David is at least, he could wash his hands clean of this. Obviously, he still was infatuated with the woman. But David wants to make sure, this is where we are, we left off last time. David wants to make sure that she's protected.
A lot of people might have a reason for saying that their child is from the king.
Okay, so David wants to protect her, so he sends for the husband to spend time at home. We said this last week, that's where we left off. And I'd like to we'll take a few questions after, but first let's read a few psukim. Okay, we are reading Shmuel Bet Perek Yud Aleph. Okay, everyone have it?
Mm-hmm.
Shmuel Bet Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Vav. Vayishlach David el Yoav, shlach elai et Uriah hachiti, vayishlach Yoav et Uriah el David. So, as a matter of fact, nothing unusual. Yoav doesn't say, why do you want to see Uriah hachiti? What does he have to do with the battle? Uriah will learn at the end of Shmuel Bet as one of David's 37 chief generals. He is coming home to report what is happening at the front. There is nothing at all unusual about this. Okay? So he sends for Uriah, and Uriah goes to David. Ve'abo Uriah elav. Uriah comes to see David. Ve'ishal David lishlom Yoav, ve'lishlom ha'am, ve'lishlom ha'milchama. How is your chief of staff doing? How are the people doing? How's the war going? Nothing at all unusual here. Okay, this is probably a common thing. So after receiving the report, you report to your king, gave you a day off. So you know what? Uriah, Vimadavid La Uriah, raid the Vescha, Urachatzraglacha. go home and wash your feet. Now, notice that he says, raid Leveischa. That is indeed a geographical description. David's palace was on the hill. The people lived in the valley below. So it's go down to your home. Right? And I think, as you see, it's almost like a milat mancha. The word keeps appearing. Let's just read a few psukim. Vayishkav ori petach bein ha-melech ha-kalav de abdunav. Ve-lo yorad el beiso. Ve-gidul dover de mor, lo yorad uri el beiso. Ve-imad dover de luri ha-lo miderech ha-toba. Madua lo yorad eto el beisecha. Notice the constant repetition of the yirida of going from David's place to Uriah's place. I digress to a Gemara in Maseches Sota that noticed this phenomenon. Tell me if you recall it, about the place called Timna. When Yehuda goes to Timna in Shmuel in Bereishis Perek Lamed Ches, it says Vayaal Timnasa. He went up to Timna. When another biblical character goes there, it says Vayered. Who am I talking about? He went down to Timna.
Shimshon,
correct. So the Gemara gives three answers to this problem. How can he Vayered or Vayal? Make up your mind. So the Gemara says one answer. There are two Timnas. One whose entrance you had to go up, one whose entrance you had to go down. Another answer is, here's Timna.
Wherever you come from.
Yehuda was coming from here, and Shimshon was coming from there. The Gemara, however, gives a third answer that is more thematic. It's nothing to do with geography. It says that Yehuda ended up, when he went, in the end of the story, making an aliyah. He lifted himself up when he said, Sad Kamimeni, and he admitted his guilt, and he said, and he comes out ahead. The Gemara says, that's why he was Ravi Lamalchus. Not because of what he does in Vayigash, but what he does in Vayeshev. Okay, fine. When Shimshon went to Timna, he went for not for the good Zachen. Right? He went not for for an aliyah, he went for a yirida. So that's why it says Vayered and Vayal. See it? Okay. There's an interesting Milat Mancha. When Yonah escapes God's word, it says Vayered Lavo Tarshish, Vayered Elahiniya, Vayered. It says the word Vayered four times, and then finally when it talks about him going to sleep, it says Vayeradam. So he's constantly going lower and lower into the abyss. But how low you go, Yom Kippur can take you out. Kaddish Baruch Hu can take you out of even from the pits of the whale. So there's a powerful message of what Yonah is teaching, but you see that Milat Mancha Vayered, Vayered, Vayered. Here, I think it might be being used here because look at Uriah's answer. It says, Yarad, 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 Lamay Yarad, Ita, Vimariel David. Harom Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshu besukos. V'adinu yoev v'yavdei Adonai al pnei ha-sadeh chonim. V'ani. It doesn't say that. Look. V'ani avo el beisi. Lecho v'lishtos. Right? Ani avo el beisi. You see what the word he uses? He doesn't say v'ani erid. I'm supposed to erid el beisi. For me, it's a bia. It's me. It's my house. It's my family. Right? Bani avo el beisi. He doesn't use the word erid. Now, in the end, it's the Navi who decides what word to put in, of course. But you see that the juxtaposition of all this yiridah to his house. But when Uriah himself uses the word, he doesn't use the word.
Right. I wanted to point out Mother Nibu, let's say.
Yeah.
He is the only one among those that we mentioned, David HaMelech, Shimshon, whatever. He went down to his grave from that. It's a remez al yirida
lamavet. In a chinami. The reason why I'm pointing this out is because when he himself says the terminology, he doesn't use yirad.
Because he didn't know.
All right, and it's right. So to him, it's not a yirida.
It's not a yirida.
For everyone else.
It's a nice visit.
Right, okay. So let's get back to Pasuk Zion. Go down to your house. Now again, it could be just a geographical description, like the Gemara says, the first two terutzim about Timna. Remember, I gave you different terutzim there. So it says, Reid leveischa rechatz raglecha. I have to tell you, here, there's a discussion in the scholars. Rechatz raglecha here seems to be a euphemism. It's lashon naki. Maybe you have it. I mean, when Avigail tells David in Shmuel Aleph, after her husband dies and she brings him the food, right? She says, "Oh, but then I can be your handmaiden to wash your feet." She says, "I want to marry you." You know, Like when Ruth tells Boaz, he needs a little, hello, Boaz, the woman is willing, right? So he needs a little knocking on the head. But there are certain statements made in the Tanakh for, euphemistic. The Tanakh has a number of euphemisms. Sometimes Beirach is used instead of the Kalel. Sometimes these are called Lashon Naki. Mm-hmm. Right? So here, Ruchatz Raglecha. It's clear that unless there's a good reason, like when people are walking in a desert, someone says, wash your feet. I know that they mean that. That's the simple pshat. But here, when he says, Dafka, go home. So, Vayetzei Uriah mi Beis HaMelech, he wants to make sure that Uriah spends some intimate time with his wife. That's the whole point here, is that he has to consider himself to be the father of this child, as Rashi says explicitly. Rashi just points it out. Okay, Vayishkav Uriah Pesach Beis HaMelech Eiz Kol Avdei Adonav V'lo Yarad El Beiso. Uriah slept in front of his house. He did not go home. Now, let's ask a question. Why not? He says later. He's really so loyal to his troops.
Somebody must have said something.
Yeah, that's what some commentaries say.
Really?
Yeah. He slept with the people in the street. Some people might have said something. All right, but you know what? He could have been so loyal the way he describes. He's such an Erlichkeit.
Doesn't sound right.
But here I have to tell you this. To me,
he can't cover up such a thing.
I know, but to me he does. I don't know if it's not that. How do you not go home to your wife, even if the king doesn't tell you? He's perfect justification to go to his wife. You haven't seen your wife in months. Uh-huh. I don't care how many Rabbi Kiva stories. You know what? How do you not go home and say hello to your wife? Right? So there's something going on here. They told David. They know why Uriah has to go there. Right? This will hopefully be in an inner circle, but the word is getting out. Right? So, Vayagidu, and they told David that Uriah did not go home. Vayomer David el Uriah, Halo miderech hatava, madua lo yirad etel beisecha. You're coming from a distance, far away, why wouldn't you go home? Right, madua lo yirad etel. Right, so David still unsuccessfully tries to send Uriah home.
So, are there any Purushim who say, maybe this is Uriah's very, very, very subtle way of sending a message back to David?
Oh, absolutely. I don't see before Shimon. See, they'll see what's about to happen. David's going to get him drunk. Still he doesn't go home. Right? What happens when you're drunk? You lose your inhibitions. Right? When a person is drunk, they it's harder for them to say no to something. Right? Uriah drunk did not go to something that was his to begin with while the king is telling him to do so. So strong was his conviction here.
Yeah, it does sound as if maybe somebody
quite
told
defeated.
Him.
Right? So Vayomer Uriah David, Haron v'Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim basukos. Everybody is in tents. V'Adoni Yoav avdei Adoni al pnei hasodeh. My master Yoav, the Gemara in Kiddushin, says that this was his rebellion. How dare you say my master in front of the king about anyone else? Right? You don't have another master in front of the king. Anyway, but that's all right. Adon Yisrael v'Yehuda yoshvim basukos v'Adoni Yoav avdei Adoni al pnei hasodeh. Al pnei hasodeh chonim. They're all out in the field. V'ani avoe al beisi lechob lishtos v'ishkav v'mishti chayecha v'chein avshech v'meseh hasodevar hazeh. Very strong conviction. I'm not supposed to go home and enjoy myself. Well, my whole people are in Bitzar Vitsuka. Right? Now, let me ask you a sense question. There's no right or wrong answer here. If Uriah had gone home, would David have just wiped his hands clean of this? Hmm. Maybe pay for his college tuition or something like that. I don't know. But he just turns out, Hashem has it in store for this poor baby. He's going to live the shortest life of anyone in Tanakh. But
Okay, before that, there's another question. If he knew something, right?
Who's he?
Uriah knows, yeah.
Was he allowed to go and stay with her?
Only if she was not willing.
If she was, if it's honest.
Or, now, you're asking a question that seems to imply that Uriah had not given her this gift we spoke about last week. Remember that conditional or full-fledged or Rabbeinu Tam, so because the Gemara gave two answers. I return to those two answers. The Gemara's second answer, right, that if she was not rendered prohibited to the Baal, she's not prohibited to the Baal. The Gemara's real concern here was not so much to try to explain what David did. He did a terrible thing, he did tshuva for it, we all admit to that. The question is, how can we justify the tshuva if he stayed married to her? So the Gemara has to whittle through the halachic process, and that's what the Gemara Ksuvos is about in Daf Tes there, to figure this thing out, about how we can push this aside. He'll pay for it the rest of Shmuel Bet, maybe, and he will not die. It says, Gam Hashem Herviras Chatos Cholotamos, implying you ought to. Under other circumstances, you would. But you won't now, but there will be some punishment, as he mentions. His household is being chased by enemies. But the key for the Gemara is the powerful lesson of David's tshuva. And that's why I always claim that even when you teach this in 7th grade, 6th grade, wherever it's taught, that it's crucial to teach this chapter with Tehillim Perek Nun Aleph, which is Bevo David Kasher Baal Bashava, Bevo Noson Hanavi El David. It's a short, relatively short perek, a beautiful perek about tshuva.
I think that also by David Oseh Mishpat Utzdaka Lechol Amos stood to justify it.
Right, okay.
They judge him as a whole picture. Sometimes say to girls in a shidduch, let's say he has values and a terrible nose. Look at the nose, look at the whole thing.
My wife took me for all my warts, and it was okay. I just appreciate that.
But the chet that's even greater to me is that he had them killed.
Okay, so that's coming up.
Terrible.
That's coming up. Barbara Nell says the biggest problem is the cover-up. That in the end, the rich man in the rich man in the parable looks like a nice guy. He fed a stranger. He took care, right? And all was finished. Goodbye. It's always taken care of. Finished. So that's why he waited all the way to the very end. Beirad Devar Ben Hashem, when it says that he get it with Meshuva Nitzachas, but there's a prophet in Israel. Maybe no one knows about it. There's a debate. We'll try to learn the rest of Shmuel Bet and see if there are any hints throughout the rest of this book if anyone else knew about this. Don't you think if Shimi Ben Gera knew about this, he would have gone crazy with it? Don't you think of Achitopel, of Avshalom? Avshalom's revolt was predicated on the fact that people aren't getting quick justice? And it wouldn't have been predicated on the fact that Adoniyahu wouldn't have said, don't choose him, he's the son of a... Right? It's very possible that this was very scrupulously kept on guard. Thanks to Yoav. Which is why Yoav held a lot of cards with David, for the rest of Shmuel Bet. But it's very possible. I mean, no, there's a Gemara in Shabbos Daf Kuf Dalet that says, Klal Nimretzes. The word Nimretzes stands for Nun Mem Resh Tzadik Tov, and Nun stands for Noif, which means that Shimon Ben Gera did know, but then why didn't he say so in the text? It's difficult. It's not so pashut. Anyway, but that's so. Here's where we are. The people make mistakes. It's a temporary insanity, call it what you will. And the greatness of this man is that he was able to turn things around.
It proves that it was a long insanity, and not a temporary.
Okay, but no, it was a tangled web, and then there's this book called The Simple Plan, where two people find a lot of money and they realize that they should turn it in, right, to the police. They didn't do anything illegal. They just found a lot of money. They found a lot of bags of money, and they decided on a simple plan of how over time they could spend this money themselves. And because they didn't do the right thing at the beginning, it ended up killing 10 different people, and they destroyed this and destroyed that. It started off a little, you know. The Pesukim in Mishnah like this, you know, you know, a tangled web we weave, you know, and then it becomes it snowballs. So in Echanami, it went on and on. David had to decide: could there have been a simpler thing for him to do? You know, what else could he do? He wants to send them home. Mistama, he would just say, okay, he went home, they're going to have a baby in 8.5 months, things will be fine, that's it, I'll keep an eye on him, maybe, you know. So that's it, shine. Right? And instead...
Which was a common case in many courts, nothing special in European courts, a common case. Such
okay.
Such a birth, yeah?
All right, so let's continue, please. Ve'im adabed al uriya, shev bazeh gam hayom, u'machor ashal cheko. Stay here again today. I'll send you back to the front tomorrow. Ve'yeshev uriya b'yushalayim b'yom ahu mimachoros. He stayed that day and the next day. Ve'ikro lo David ve'yochal lefana v'yesht v'yishakrehu. He got him drunk. Ve'yitzeh v'erev mishkav mishkavo imavdei adonav el beisol lo yorad. Again, he got drunk, and he, even in a drunk state, he refused to go down to his tent. Seems he must know something. Or he's just such a committed soldier. Right? Drunk, he has the inhibition not to give in to his desire. Vayikrolo David ve'ochalo fana vayiva boker ve'echtov David sefer el Yoav ve'yishlach biyad Uriah. Look at that. He's sending Uriah with the letter sealed with the stamp of the king. Kill this man. Make sure this man dies. Now Uriah must wonder, why are you having me telling me to kill such an important man? Now the fact is Yoav. You must be asking Yoav. Yeah.
If Uriah really suspected, this is a good proof that he didn't, because Uriah gave open the letter. He certainly didn't open the letter. We know that.
Right.
What? But same with this other behavior of, you know, not really going home to my house. I just, you know, I mean, you know, we said, you know, does he mean it seriously? Do we take him seriously? But maybe he's a real soldier to the end.
But if he knew that David did this, and then he sends him back to the front with a message for you, look, he just might not have been so bright. But you don't get to be a general of one of 37 top generals without having a strategic mind, and the strategic mind knows where he's going.
It's a sojourn.
All right, so it's, you know, the soldier just takes his orders. Yes, sir. And when the king gives me the orders, just tell me what to do. Now, that's a good soldier. Now, a king does have the right, as any chief of staff, to send particular people on any mission. You know, the people who went on the mission to kill Osama bin Laden, were they going on a suicide mission? You know, people who... President Carter sent some men on what amounted to a suicide mission in Iran, remember, to free the hostages. So a king has the right to send, was this exactly the words of the letter? Or was it phrased perhaps a little more subtly that says, listen, we had trouble taking that wall. I know it's a very dangerous mission. I think Uriah is the right man to do it.
It really sounds more like intentional homicide.
In other words, leave him unprotected. He'll feel that he has people behind him. Shavtem, return away from him. And it seems like a premeditated situation here. I want to lose this man. Make no mistake. What?
He has the harshness to do.
Oh, please, we know Yoav already in this book very well. Absolutely. Yes, John.
But David HaMelech, why would he send the actual letter? Yad Uriah. In other words, why not send it with other messengers to reach Yoav before Uriah gets back to the battlefield?
He knows
it seems like David is either.
He probably knows that Uriah is this loyal dog who's not going to open
it. What is the difference?
What is it? If David was afraid that Uriah would open it and read it.
No.
You know, it may just be that the Uriah we're coming to learn about. Even if he did open it and read it, he would have still delivered it.
What would he have done?
He might still have delivered it.
He had no choice.
What choices? But even we call realistic, what choices does he have? Where's he going to go?
He's not sure. Right.
His fate is sealed. He doesn't have many choices.
He's absolutely loyal.
He's at the top of the echelon. of the army. Anything else?
Other than to join the enemy.
His only choice is to go to the enemy. He's not going to do that.
So Uriah is David knows who he's working with. He knows his loyalty. He knows his loyalty. This is the way things were at the time. Okay.
The cards are dealt.
Okay. Vayhi b'shmor Yoav el ha'ir v'yitenes Uriah el ha'makom asher yadaki anshei chayel sham. So the way David acts, though, is that the way, or Yoav acts, is that he makes it quite clear that this is not, I'm not making it look like take an exact hit and maybe hit by friendly fire, because that could lead to an investigation, right? David is concerned with political considerations in this book. He didn't want people to think that he was complicit with the Philistines over killing Shaul. He killed the Amaleki in the beginning of the story because he even thought that he would be happy with the death of Shaul. He mourned profoundly for Avner, so that no one would think he set the hit on him. Right? He killed Rechav and Baana, who thought he'd be thrilled with the assassination of Ish-bosheth. Remember all this? David does have political considerations, and Yoav, understanding this, sends him to the place, to the battle where he knows Anshei Chayil go, meaning people who are really have a lot at stake. If you capture this wall, then the war is over already. But it's very dangerous there. I keep saying the wall because you're going to find out in Perikid Beis that that's exactly how he was killed. They threw rocks down the wall at him, and they hit him in the head, and they killed him. Because Yoav sent back and said, "Well, I'm sorry. This seems like another battle that we fought. Remember, he refers in Perikid Beis to a battle where a warrior was killed by a rock that was thrown down by a woman."
Yeah, that's Avimelech.
And back in Shoftim. Yeah. And while he's mortally wounded, bleeding to death, he tells his foolish pride of a man. He tells his sword bearer, "Please cut me up quickly, so no one should say a woman killed me." Right. Okay. Good for you. All right, so he sent him to a place where he knew that the mighty men go. And in that battle, many brave men died, including Uriah. Notice that he keeps calling Uriah Achiti, Achiti, Achiti. We discussed this last time, whether he's a Hittite or not. There are some Aforishim who don't mind going there to resolve the problem of a marriage. How could he stay married to her? Because she wasn't allowed to be married. It's still contemptuous, right? But the Gemara doesn't go there. The Gemara says he was a Jewish man's parents. Vayishlach Yoav vayegeid leDavid es kol divrei haMelchama. And they sent to describe in detail all of the elements of the battle. Okay, vayitzavis haMalach leMor. When you finish describing what happened in the battle, because it's not going to be such good news, and when the king's anger waxes, and he says, "Why did you go so close to the city? They're going to just throw things down the wall. You can't come in like that." Right? What do? They usually they put up
siege.
Ramparts, and they put up ladders, and then they make sure a lot of people go up quickly so that if they knock off the first few, they make it up there. There's a bunch coming up right behind them. Right? I'm sure you've seen pictures like this, right? Mm-hmm. So if David asks you, "Why did you come so close to the wall?" Mi kas Avimelech ben Yerubeshes. You see that? Hello, Ishoi Shlicha Alav. Pelach Rechev Me'alachoma V'yamas B'tevetz. David knows his shoftim. He went to class. Right? He says, "Why did you come so close to the wall? Don't you remember the story that we learned in fifth grade about Avimelech?" They call him Ben Yerubeshes here. He's called Yerubal. Something Ish-boshes, Ish-baal, Yerubeshes, Yerubal. Something's going on there. So, Lomani Gashtem Elachoma Vamarta Gamartacho Uriah Hachiti Mace. At that point, now what's the nature of this strategy? Can you figure this out? What's he telling him?
The only thing is that Yoav is the sort of, again, hinting to David, I got the goods on you.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You got rid of him.
And I could let other people know, right? And when he starts to get angry, what is that supposed to now calm him down, that one of his generals died?
That's supposed to shut up.
Right? So in other words, at that point, David, don't be angry with this report. This is what you ordered. This is the only way we could do this. This is the only way we could get what you wanted. So the crime is to forget about the cover-up now. He didn't just kill Uriah. He killed other men too. To cover up, so it would be Batal Bashishim. Right? Yeah?
But how does he send a messenger to such a...
Let's see how he tells it, because he changes it around a little. Ve'elech ha'malach ve'yavo ve'yageid le'David is called Asher Shlacho Yoav. And the messenger went to tell all these things to Yoav, to David. Ve'yom ha'malach al David ki gavru aleinu anashim ve'yitzu aleinu asadev v'niyay lehem ad Pesach ha'shar. They were too strong for us. They even came out to meet us in the field. Right? And they were there until the very gates of the city. They shot arrows and threw stones at us from the wall. He didn't say it the way. He didn't. This guy was oblivious. Right? Uriah was told him what to do in case the king gets too angry with you. He never got that far. So this messenger didn't quite get what was going on. Maybe he wasn't supposed to, but he didn't get it. He just told David, I just want to let you know that Uriah Achiti was killed also. That this clearly shows that he's special. Right? Otherwise, why mention him specifically? That will surely give it away. No, it's not, don't be so amazed. Uriah Achiti was one of David's major
Giborim.
Okay, so.
Well, you know he has to be important, because if he has a house that's so close to the palace that the king can...
That too. Don't be so angry. This is a very, very famous statement. Don't be so amazed. Don't be so worried that such a high figure in the army was killed. The sword, the spear, the arrow. It comes this way. It comes that way. There's no rhyme and reason for it. You can't be sure. David really is saying, oh, okay, it's very upsetting to me that Uriah died, but we have to console ourselves. The sword is quite haphazard. Right?
Doesn't sound like the author of the universe.
The antithesis of
like this before, Shaul,
Hachazek milcham techa elo irva or soch b'chaskehu. Be strong. Take the city. You will take it. David himself used to go out to these battles, but here he stays at home. That was the part of the problem to begin with, right? If he was at the battle, he wouldn't have been in such a position. Mm-hmm. But Tishma, now look at Pasuk Chavav. Let's simplify Pasuk Chavav as much as we can. Because this is the Pasuk, you know, this has to fit in. It says, "Vatishma eshes Uriah ki meis Uriah isha, vatispod al ba'alo." What a verbose pasuk. Let's simplify it. Vatishma, what would you say what the next word should be?
Bat Sheva,
call her by her name.
Yeah.
Vatishma Bat Sheva ki meit. I would just say isha. We know who he is. Vatishma Bat Sheva ki meit isha. Or he made Uriah. One or the other. I don't need to know Uriah Isha. Vatispedeu. She eulogized him. Now, when it says that she's with us, say she mourned for him also shortly. This, what do we do with the Ksuva answer here?
It seems that he's still.
Right, she considers this to be her husband.
Yeah.
Now, look, ask Bathsheba, who would you rather be married to? Your poor husband. Now, he probably wasn't poor, he probably was somewhat, well off. or the king. I should hope that every woman would rather stay married to the husband she loves than to have a chance to be the queen. I should hope so. If she's in love, I hope so.
I'm just saying that
Bathsheba does come out okay in this story. You know, she becomes the mother of the next king of Israel, but poor Uriah. But it does seem at the end of the story that she maybe it's an act, but there was an evil, right? And the verbosity of this pasuk is showing its profound displeasure.
Right? Why should it switch from ish to baal instead of that? Why is it a both? Why is there a switch?
Well, the ish usually, like in Sefer Hosea, implies more of a love. Baal implies like it says, no shit, in the Haftarah Parshas Bamidbar, you will no longer call me your Baal, you'll call me your Ish.
But I'm gracious, when I created Chava, her first name is Isha. So it could be their relationship, that he was really her soulmate.
Okay. All right, so
they're using Isha instead of...
So it's so confounding to me that he wouldn't go home.
But wait,
unless he knew.
If this was a gift, conditional gift, how come she's mourning?
If this is a conditional get, then she is a grusha. Then she is not really mourning sitting shiva, she's just upset. She was hoping to remarry him after the battle.
So maybe that's what he thought.
According to that explanation.
Yeah, Rabbi Shoshan, your wife asked, what does the person have to do if you get a conditional get? Do you have to tear up the get in order to go back, or do you have to, how does that work?
Yeah, if he writes, you're divorced from the day I leave, there's a new date if he comes home in between.
So do you have to go through a whole marriage again? Like, in other words, a whole...
No. What was his status? She's a married woman.
Just gone home?
Yeah.
There's something also very, very unsettling for her about her husband coming home, and maybe she thinks he's returning, and then he has to go right back out to battle 2 days later.
Yeah, did she know he was coming, that he was around? I mean, how does the word not get around for 2 days that Uriah is 30 yards from the house and doesn't come in the house?
Yeah.
Did she go out to the street to look for him, or was she like, what was she thinking all at this time?
Feeling guilty also.
How long were they married at this point?
You know, it doesn't say. There's no way to really know.
No children were there, but no, we don't know.
It's hard to even know. It's hard to ever know. There's a Gemara in the 8th Perek of Sanhedrin that has her quite young, but it's hard to know. So it's hard to put an age on anything here.
It's also interesting, it doesn't say she cried.
Well, it says what he spoke.
In Brachos, when Avraham gave eulogy and then he cried.
Kosa, yeah.
It could be a whole mixture of emotions.
She could feel
guilty for having intuitively understanding, perhaps.
She could have been trapped in a loveless marriage, which might also explain why he didn't go home. And she's happy to get rid of him. You know, all kinds of that. That's, by the way, in the movie. Gregory Peck. You know, she's relieved. She was in a. Anyway, so. Soldiers' wives are did they know what they got into? As sometimes rabbis' wives, do they know what you got into? You know, did you bargain for this? Right? So soldiers' wives know that there's someone I'm married to who I see just periodically, and right? Okay. So look at the next pasuk is also so Vayavor ha'evel. Now, how long is an evel?
7 days.
Hold it a second. You're supposed to wait 3 months to marry a woman after her husband dies. No matter how old he is, no matter how apart he was, I don't care if he was in jail for 20 years. A man dies, you must wait 30 days 3 months, 91 days to remember. That's the halacha.
That's to know.
Tavchana, right.
But
she's divorced from... Okay, see, that's a good answer. You could say that if he died, according to that teretz, if he died in battle, she's divorced from the day he left, so the 3 months have passed from the divorce. She's not a widow. If he died childless, there would be no yibum. She's a divorcee. She cannot marry a kohen.
Yes. Is there anywhere in the Tanakh where the 3 month precedent has been used before, or this may be? I don't know in terms of chronology. Is this in response? Was the law about waiting 91 days in response to this kind of episode?
It's certainly in response to this possible episode. The Gemara says it beferish. I'm not familiar with any other kind of situation like this. The Gemara says many, many stories with Suffolk Ben Zion, Suffolk Ben Tez, you know. I'm not sure who's,
But no story in Tanakh where
Here's an explicit story here where David takes, but you gave the Teretz already. The Teretz is, according to the first answer the Gemara gives in Maseches, the second answer in Maseches Ksuvos, that if this was a divorce situation, she was long ago divorced.
How much time elapsed between when they were together and when he called Uriah back?
So I imagined it had to be a very quick. Couldn't be too long. How long between the time he was with her and then she says, I'm with child? I don't know if they had these kind of kits that you have today to take a test or not. But
it's got
to
be a few weeks.
Just a few weeks, Ms. Dama. But David has to act very quickly right now. He can't wait he can't wait this time to send Uriah home. That's precisely the point. He wants Uriah to think he's going to father a 7, 8 month child. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
So he has to act quickly. Right? So there's not a lot of time from the original story. Okay? So Vavora Evel, Vayishlach David, I just don't like this next word. Vayasfo El Beso. He collected her. Gathered her in. Sort of like, you know, that Abigail is still called Aisha's Novella Carmeli in a few places. Vatilo li isha batelid lo bain, vayeraha davar shira sot David bain ne Hashem. Because at this point, David looks like what a guy. A war widow, and he takes her in and he gives her a place to live, a palace. And wow.
Okay, all right.
That's certainly how he looks into the average person. He looks like comes out. Meshuva nitzachas. But there's one thing in Israel. There's a prophet who knows. And that's next. Let's read just a few psukim. Okay, let's read around a little. Sheila, would you like to get a start? Vayishlach Hashem et Natan el David.
Vayishlach Hashem et Natan el David. Vayavo elav, vayom alo, shne anashim hayu b'ir achad, achad ashir achad rosh. Vashir hi atzon vakar harbe ma'od, v'larash ein kol ki em fasa achad kana, asher kana, vayachayav atigdal imo, vim banav yachdav, mi pito tochal, mi koso tishteh,
Now, we read this last week, if you recall, that it was almost like an absurdity, a little exaggeration here about how close this man is with this sheep. I could picture David, after hearing a little too much, because I think you're telling me information I don't need to know here. You know, I'm just go get on with it. What's the case here? What does it mean? He sleeps with this sheep, and she drinks from his cup, and he eats. Please, he's like a daughter? What? Okay, I don't need to know that. What's the case? So remember last week we discussed the three different things that he's called. Right? So first it's Vayavo Helech. And this guest that is first called, and even the Targum just calls him Orcha at first. Right? Calls him Orcha. The first two, the Targum for Helech and Oreach, are both Orcha. Right? So the Yetzirah starts coming, it passes by. It's just a passerby in our heads. And at that point, it's easy to banish, if we can, but not if we bring him in. and we make him an Oreach, mm-hmm. once you make him an Oreach, then it's very easy the next to get to the next step, which is now he's a card carrying, he's a rent paying ish. He's in your house and he's stuck. Right? It's not easy to evict such a person. So and plus the rich man looks pretty good here. He looks like a you know, upstanding guy, feeding a halach like this, right? Now the parable, as I mentioned last week, is not precise, because in order to be precise, the rich man should then have the poor man killed, right? I don't want anyone to know I took his sheep, so I'm gonna have him killed. Why didn't he go through the whole parable?
David could fly off the handle immediately. And
right. If he had told him that, David would have said that. He wouldn't have pronounced the penalty with that. He would have realized what's going on. He has to tell him in a way that's credible enough for David to pronounce some kind of sentence. You can't just run into the king and say, you did terrible. Look at this one. First, let David pronounce the sentence, say what he thinks this particular case should be. And then Nassim will be able to tell him that you're describing yourself, right?
So Rabbi Schwartz, about this, David Melech Yisrael Chai V'Kayam, and from David the Mashiach will come. So Mashiach ben David. So how do we explain that?
This is precisely a memra Chazal that says, "Ein ben David ba, ella im yesh lo kupa shel shrotzim munach mitzavaro." Then David must have a can of worms, bones in the closet, however you want to say it. But because and it's so profoundly, I must say, if you mind my digression, it's so profoundly different than Christianity. They believed that their messianic figure had to be so perfect that he has to die for our sins. He couldn't even be performed from a conception of a woman. He has to. It's so such a contrast. So that we live with the fact that we have iniquity, but it's within our power. We don't have to profess belief in someone else to get out of that our doldrums and our sinfulness that everybody shares in common. It's within our power. We can do it the same way David did, the same way anyone can.
Why did the person take such pains to go through like every little excruciating detail of the story and twist it around? Try and put David in a favorable light that it seems pretty clear.
Turn to the back of this page. I'm not so sure that even takes place in Chazal, but maybe more in the Rishonim. And I think the reason for that is because of Christian polemics. It's very possible. Right, look at the very last page. It says Truvos Chachmei Provence at the top. You see it? See, there's an arrow with a line there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Since it didn't come out so clearly, but
The arrow, you mean over here, this section.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it starts off with the words Vida be'emes shekol gezar dino shel Shaul. You see it? Vida be'emes shekol gezar dino shel Shaul nitchateim shelo nimshecho malchuto va'avono hayo nichtam. Know that Shaul's sins, the relatively minor ones, destroyed his kingdom. He didn't wait for Shmuel. He didn't wipe out the Amalekim. Right? You see it? I'm now on the word Vinikra. You see the 12? Mm-hmm. Vinikra Gazardino Shel David. David's Gazardin was the Gazardin for death was torn, as we're about to read in Perikid Bet, although probably next week. Velo Allah bekaf moznayim, and David's sins did not have the same weight in the scale as Shaul's, even though David's sins seem much worse. Mm-hmm. The Gemara in Yuma asks, "V'chimiyish masupanim b'davar? Why is are they treated so different?" V'afal pi shegadol chet'o be'inyan Batsheva kiflei kiflayim. Even though David's sin with Batsheva was far worse than Shaul's sins. Right. Even though the rabbis have blessed memory, Shabbos Tan Fudunvav, Avodizor Daf Dalet, etc., those Gemaras that we cited for you. Schorom Harbei, Avolein Mikriyot Seimidei Pshuto. They have a lot of reward for doing so. It's good to do so. The man who wrote Tehillim should not, be careful how you teach this. But their schar is great. But ein mikur etzei b'nei pshuto. The story is still the story. So why is David forgiven and Shaul dies in his trespass? Reason for the difference between the two is that Shaul refused to admit his guilt. And he kept on trying to work out. Baruch atah Hashem, Hakimosi is Dvar Hashem. No, Asher Chamal Ha'om, Meyimeta Vatzon. It says Ve'achmol Shaul in the Pasuk Ha'chamal Ha'om. Right? So that's the simple difference. Is that this man said Chatasi. Now, you can say, what Chatasi? There was a cover-up. Right? To this day, I think if there was no blue dress, Bill Clinton would have been. That's the whole reason why there was any court case whatsoever, right?
No.
This is the custom when they get the word that the news is going to break the next day. Jesse Jackson had a love child, so he has a press release and he announced it the day before. So what good is it? I announced it, right? I confessed, right? You confessed 18 years later, after the child threatens. You didn't come up with the college money. You threatened to talk about it. So now you're gonna announce it to the community. Anyway, the point is that
Jackson was a
Clinton
spiritual advisor.
Okay, I understand that. Okay, so but you hear that this Chuvas Chachmei Provence says, listen, take the story for what it is. Shivan Panim Latorah. There are many different approaches, but to understand that the main message of the story. Remember how I started teaching this? The David begged, please, Shviki, take it out of this mach. Don't let them read it. And Hashem said, no, I can't do that. Why? Well, not everything David did is written in the Bible. So Hashem said, okay, I'll take it out of Divrei Yamim, but it has to stay in Shmuel Bet. So next week in Mitzvah Hashem, we will close off the discussion of the reaction to David's, what David did. And just remember, when we don't have the words to say, when we're lacking in our prayers, we turn to this man, David HaMelech, David Taylor. So we have to balance the way this is taught and the way we study it, and hopefully we'll get a fine medium how to do it. Okay, we'll continue Mitzvah Hashem with Perek Yud-Bet, Pasuk Vav. Perek Yud-Bet, Pasuk Vav, next week.